Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see y'all again. Good to see y'all weather the storm last night. At about 1:30, I was saying, Lord, I need some wisdom. Do we run to the building or do we just ride this out? Because the wind was rocking that 12,000 pounds out there. I thought, And then when I heard the hail start, I thought, oh, boy. But we made it. Amen. I want to say happy Mother's Day to all the mamas that are here. Hallelujah for that. And before you stand, I'd like for you to find Matthew 6, okay? So find that passage first and mark it somehow with your hanging down thingy. Most Bibles have one of those in it, you know. Or maybe you just use your tithing envelope that you should have put in the offering a moment ago. You know, you could use that maybe. That way you remember to put it in when we're done. Just teasing with you here a little. Certainly good to be back, and I certainly thank the pastor for allowing us to come, and especially in his absence. I do not take that lightly. This is a sacred desk, and after pastoring 21 years, I was pretty protective and guarded over the sacred desk at, back then it's called First Baptist, but so I understand him and his absence, me being here. I appreciate that. So I'm going to try not to do anything to make anybody mad this morning and actually try to be a blessing to you folks. So if you found Matthew 6 and marked it, okay, now our text is actually in 1 Kings 17. So now when you find that, if you can and able, let's stand to honor God's word. We'll get into this morning. The title, in case the guys at the sound booth need it or somebody happened to take notes, is A Mother's Life That Screamed, I Believe God. A Mother's Life That Screamed, I Believe God. So here we are in 1 Kings chapter 17. Everybody there? Genesis, Exodus, 1 Kings. Well, there's a few more, but you'll find it. Good to see y'all today. Okay, here we go. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And so he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass, after a while, that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee the Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose, and he went to Zarephath. And when he had come to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman, was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. Behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord send rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Let's pray right there. Father, we sure need you this morning. We're asking now that you'd meet with us, should there be lost among us, Lord, we pray that you'd illumine their mind and fall under conviction of their sin, be convinced of the need of a Savior, and that they might be saved. And for the saved today, the mamas and the rest of us would be encouraged and our faith strengthened. Lord, sin confronted if need be, but we're asking that you meet with us and revive us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. A mother's life that screamed, "I believe God." Again, happy Mother's Day to all the mamas. I thank God for my wife, the mother of our children. I believe she's done an outstanding job raising them, and praise the Lord for that. Half of the crew's with us today. Of course, Krista, she's married now and moved to Alabama. Her husband's assistant pastor down there, and they're serving in the church there, and we're glad for them, but we still miss her. And Josh, our son, a few months back, I think it was February, we were in Alabama and got a call that her mom had fallen and broken her hip. She's 85, and her dad is 85, and he's on a walker, and now mom's on a walker also. So I flew her and Joshua home. One, I didn't want her to fly by herself, although she could have. I just didn't like that. So Josh went with her. And also, her dad sometimes needs some physical help that she's just honestly quite, not, she's just not strong enough to do that. So we sent Muscles along. So that, now she's back with me on the road, hallelujah, after about 4 or 5 weeks. I'm glad to have her back with us. But we've left Josh home to be there just in case. They probably have a month or two to get back on their feet. So he said to tell everyone hello, especially Pastor Merrick. He texted me earlier and said that this morning. So anyway, our other two are with us, Heather and Melody. And, of course, now Heather, she's in a courtship, so you know what that means. It means we're going to lose another one here for too long. So anyway, that happens. So we're just glad to be here, bring you up to speed a little bit. But I certainly thank God for my mom as well. I didn't grow up in a godly home. Young people, if you have a godly mom and dad that's raised you in church, thank God for that. That's the best testimony. It really is. And I am grateful, though, even though we grew up in a worldly home. You know, my mom took me to church when I was little, maybe four or five times. You know, I don't remember a whole lot. But at least there was some seeds there early planted. But I also thank God for my grandma. Every chance she got, she drugged me to church, you know. She enjoyed taking me along the way, and she prayed for my soul. I'm grateful for that. God heard her prayer. And she would have been 104 today. Today would have been her birthday. She would still be among us. But she's with the Lord now, and her last name is Clear. So I wonder if there's connection there. So nonetheless, grandmas keep praying. She used to tell me, "You're going to be a preacher," and I'd laugh at her. Grandma, that's not happening. It happened. And she said, "Told you." So grandmas just keep on praying, and mamas keep on praying. Amen. So we're going to take a look now and see what we can learn from a mother who learned to trust God. A mother who was suffering from circumstances that was beyond her control. Nor was her circumstances her own fault. I know sometimes we can suffer some things we did or messed up, but in this case, this lady is suffering because there's a famine in the land. Well, that's not directly her fault. She's a widow. I don't believe she killed her husband, so I don't believe that's directly her fault either, you know. So here she is dealing with circumstances way beyond her control in her life and all around her. And what we see happen is something that actually is impossible. In other words, God became supernaturally involved in her life. So we're going to pick up in this passage in verse 8. And coming into this, here's Elijah. He got in Ahab's face. Well, Ahab, he certainly had some problems, did he not? And in fact, Israel in that area were suffering because of the sins of the leadership. Boy, does that not sound familiar? There's some leadership in our country that needs the Lord, no doubt about that. Amen. And because of their less than wise decisions. Is that the right way to say that, brother? Yeah, we're going to feel that. But what are we going to do? Same thing this mama did. She just trusted the Lord. And if he has to get supernaturally involved, he will. Amen. So we have that confidence. I believe that she believed God for the impossible here. So the text today that we read in 1 Kings, you know, I like a good illustration as long as it's relevant to what's going on. Well, Kings 17, to me, is a beautiful illustration. So actually, our text is the illustration of a truth that's found in the New Testament. And we're not turning there yet. It'll be toward the end of the message. But it's in Matthew 6. You probably know the verse already. It's verse 33. So we're going to let Matthew 6:33 actually be the outline for our text that's the illustration of that truth in 1 Kings 17 this morning. And that verse reads, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Amen. So in our text in Kings 17, the first point then would be, seek ye first the kingdom of God. We just let the verse outline it for us. Amen. So we find here in verse 13, let's read it here again, verse 13. "And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son." Well, we're probably familiar with this biblical account. By the way, it's not just Bible stories. These are actual historical events that really happened. And God in his wisdom has preserved it forever in our Bibles. Yea, the King James. Amen. So it's kind of interesting here that he's coming up on her. And we find her, I believe, in some type of desperation. We find her feeling maybe even a little hopeless. In fact, we find her thinking, well, I'm going to die here soon. And then Elijah shows up and asks for a drink. And as she turns to go get him a drink, say, oh, by the way, I'm hungry. Must have been Baptist. Amen. And say, hey, bring me a little piece of bread. Bring me something to eat as well. And she's like, I don't have any. I'm out, actually out here getting a couple of sticks because I have a handful of meal left and a little bit of cruise. We're going to make this biscuit. And my son and I, we're going to eat it and we're going to die. Well, here's the principle of having God first. But make me thereof a little cake first. Amen. The Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. Well, we could just get back to that. In the beginning, God. God being first placed. Amen. Folks, you honor God, he's going to honor you. No one ever has or ever will go wrong having God first. And we have that promise, the promises of God's word. Folks, that's what our faith is in, is hearing and believing what God said. It's taking God at his word. And I like y'all's sign out there. It isn't having God priority, God being the priority, but that God is your life. I thought, oh, I like that. Whoever wrote that on a sign, I thought, well, I'll use that tomorrow, and here I am using it. So that's good. Notice in verse 14, though, the promise. The promise in this passage is, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord send rain upon the earth. Well, there's the promise, folks. So here's the man of God saying, you make me one first in principle and representation. He wasn't being selfish there. It was a principle of serving the Lord first. You honor God first. You do make him priority one. In fact, if you make God your life, then God will arrange the priorities under that. And here is the Lord first in your life. And thank the Lord for that. And when God is your life and he sets the priorities, then folks, we need to remember on a personal level, we need to be faithful with our devotions. You know, our secret place, our quiet time, whatever you folks in Missouri call it, that's what I'm talking about. Where we meet with God every day, every day, every day, and we have that time set where we read His Word and we pray and we spend that time with Him. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about? I know you're familiar with that here. You have a good pastor. He teaches very well. So it's just that personal time. But boy, I assure you this, the devil will fight you for that time. You get up and this happens and that happens and this happens. And a person, like when I first get up, normally I get ready first because it wakes me up in the shower and all. And then it's God's time. This is where I like. Now, when I was a teenager, see some of the young people in here, it was right before I go to bed, because back in those days, I was a night owl. My night owl flew away. Now I'm a morning person, okay? Because come 10:30, I shut off. I can't think straight. I'm just ready for bed, okay? But I can get up early. And so that's the law. I just want to encourage you, keep your devotions. And I think a couple of times ago when we were here, of course, I know we were here last May at the end of the month. We're having a family conference. It's good to be back this year. And we're looking forward to what the Lord's going to do. Twining our Baptist heritage, who we are, why we are who we are, how it relates to current events, I trust to be a real strengthening for you, amen? We're not just wanting to give a bunch of information of what some might say, well, that's nice, but this useless information. No, we want to be very relevant to where we're at tonight. That's my prayer. You come, we see what the Lord does. But I'm encouraging here, don't forget worship in your devotions, where you just spend some time enjoying Him. And my hat's off to the mamas, especially with young children, because their life is crazy busy. Yeah, amen. You think, how could I possibly ever have any time alone? And even, you know, not to be, you know, distasteful, but even when you have to use the restroom, well, what happens there? Mommy! It's like, can I have a minute here? You know? So ever how you can sneak it in, I want to encourage you, get it in somehow, amen? Whether it's early or late or nap time or ever how it happens, it's important for you to spend that time with the Lord and praying and faithful in, of course, in the giving and the tithes and the offerings, the faith promise, be faithful in serving Him. You know, it's good to train our children to serve the Lord. And it's more enjoyable, in my opinion, when you're serving the Lord together. So all through the life as growing up, of course, as a pastor, and so our whole family, our life was church, and that's good. That's not a bad thing. I like it. In fact, I like it so much now God lets us be in church just about every day of our life. And like, this is good. But you bring the kids along. Let them be involved in that. Let them learn. And, boy, that's a way to train them for the Lord. Amen. And then I see that in its richness and its blessings. And then, be honest, I'm blown away. Because some folks have an attitude like, church is optional? Like tonight, Sunday night? It's like, look, I already did God a favor. I came Sunday morning. You know, what's he expect me to do? Be back Sunday night. Yeah, because he said not to forsake the assembling together. And then Wednesday night, it's not like, well, if I don't have anything better, do I come Wednesday? No, you come. Amen. Be faithful to the house of God. Amen. So when you see, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, but seek ye first God. In the beginning, God, you put God first. He is the priority, and from Him being your life, the other priorities line up, and when they get out of mess, life winds up a mess. God really does know best, amen? And when He says, seek ye first His kingdom, and of course in John chapter 3, you must be born again to see the kingdom of God, amen? So certainly we're talking about salvation, or to seek in the lost. And the first place we ought to seek the lost is in our own living rooms. Amen. With our own children first. And then across the street and, yay, across the seas. But good night. Moms and grandmas especially, and, yay, even daddies, be praying for the youngins to come to know Christ. Pray that as soon as they understand that the Holy Spirit will work in their life, and then as parents realize that we're training them to obey, not just so that we have a happy or a more peaceful home. Those are byproducts. But the reason we train in children discipline and teaching them to obey is so when the Spirit of God speaks to their heart, they say, "Yea, Lord, thy servant heareth like Samuel." Amen. If you're visiting today, I'm not trying to embarrass you, but would you raise your hand? I'd like to see if there's visitors among us. You brought somebody with you, moms, amen, good, thank you for coming, hallelujah for that. Okay, well, here's the thing, it's Mother's Day. Oftentimes, maybe children who aren't saved will come with mom on Mother's Day because she's mama. Well, that's right to do. That's honorable. Maybe you're saved already and you're here from mama. That's good too. I mean, that's not a bad thing. Maybe you're the mom here today, and praise the Lord for that. You're in church. Thank the Lord. But maybe you need to be saved. See, I don't know your heart. The Holy Spirit does. Did you realize that the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? And the gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation. Man can't save man. Only Jesus can do the saving. It's the work of his Spirit as you hear the word of God preached. The Holy Ghost convicts us of our sin. He convinces us of our need of a Savior. And you think, yeah, that's what's happening in my heart right now. And he didn't have to work real hard to show me I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. Well, amen, that's a work of the Spirit. And when you realize that we have sinned, well, there's a price for that sin. In Romans 6:20, for the wages of sin is death. Death is separation from, and that's why everybody dies is because of sin, but it's also dealing with the second death. And the second death is where we're cast, where one who's lost will be cast in the lake of fire forever and ever. So I plead with you this morning, if you're here and you're lost, that's your penalty. And when we realize that there's that penalty, thank God for his son. You know the verse, quote it with me, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You think, well, that was just for kids in Sunday school. No, that's for all mankind. God sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die for us all in our place. Hallelujah. When he died on the cross, he died for my sin and he died for your sin. And if you're here this morning without the Lord and you're feeling the conviction of the Holy Ghost, yes, I'm a sinner. Realize this morning, friend, there's hope. Jesus Christ is that hope. He died in your place so you didn't have to. And if we were but repent of our sin or there's that godly sorrow, God, I'm sorry for my sin. I need you to forgive me. I want you to save me. Something like that. It's not the prayer that saves. It's the faith that saves. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you're here this morning with your mama, or you came with your mama, or even if you're the daddy, if you're without the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you this morning to ask for forgiveness of your sin, and by faith, call on the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. Woo-hoo! Oh, hey man, you talk about a Mother's Day. That one would be like, woo-hoo, over the top. Well, praise the Lord. That's what he's talking about, seeking first the kingdom of God. Well, that was number one. Number two is we need to seek first his righteousness. Because he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So really, there's two number ones, but it don't work in an outline, so this is number two, okay? So here it is, but seek ye his righteousness. Look at it in verse 15 in our text. And she went, this widow lady, and did according to the saying of Elijah. Well, what was the saying of Elijah? Well, he's the preacher. What was he preaching? He's preaching the word of God. So what was she doing? She was doing the word of God that she heard from the preacher. Amen. That's how it ought to be. See, if we're going to seek first his kingdom, seek first his righteousness, then we need to play by his rules. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. Well, amen. If you want to be blessed, you're going to have to play by God's rules. He not only needs to be first when we seek the salvation of those around us and starting obviously with ourselves, but folks, when we're saved, he's left us the rule book. A pandemic doesn't change the rule book. A political crisis doesn't change the rule book. We're still but sinners who need a Savior. Amen. And those who are saved, hallelujah, God didn't leave us high and dry. He gave us a rule book. Amen. And it's not just rules to be a pain in our neck. He gave us this to actually set us free, that we might live in his liberty. Amen. Boy, there's a whole nother message. Woo, I got to stay on the track with this one. But if you want to be blessed, you got to play by his rules. Now, this lady, from her location, my assumption then is she's a Gentile. And the Gentiles in that area at that time, they practice idolatry. Now, idolatry is anything before God. I agree. Back then, it was a little more in your face because they actually had idols. To me, that's kind of foolish. Who would want to bow down to a mud, ugly statue with a, you know, with his shirt off, of grape earrings, and rub his tummy and kiss his toe? I'm not kissing anything. Okay? And then if you want him to go with you, you got to like throw him in the back of the pickup truck if you're going to take him on vacation, because he sure can't get there on his own. And he might have some hands, but they'll never help you. And he has ears to not hear one of your prayers. And he has eyes that can't see anything. Right. But folks, we serve the true God. Amen. There's only one and there's none else. Yeah, amen. And he not only knows you, he created you. He's your maker. Let us bow before our maker. Amen. Woohoo, yeah, and he knows your thoughts. He knows before, he knows in front, he knows you. Thank God for that. But here's the point I'm trying to drive at here with this lady. You know, she could have said no to Elijah. She didn't have to do what he said. She could say, you know, I'm going to go make my son a cake first. Because we sure find that idol in our country, don't we? Kids first. You even see it on license plates. Did you realize that's upside down? God never intended for the children to be first or run the home. Now, I'm dead set against child abuse. Don't even go there with that. But folks, that's out of order. God set the daddies to be the head of the home. Amen. And when that daddy's following God, and the mommy's a godly mama, and they're raising the children that would be a godly seed after the Lord Jesus Christ, that home's going to have a whole lot more than the world ever has. Well, they might not have all the latest toys and the latest tech and all the things the world might have to offer, but they'd have things like this: joy, happiness, a contentment, things that the world don't understand, things that the world cannot even buy. Yeah, if we want to be blessed, we have to play by his righteousness. We have to be, but seek ye first. Yes, and she could have said, you know, I'm going to make myself a cake first. In fact, she did say, I'm going to make me a cake, me and my son. She did say first. And boy, isn't that what idolatry does? It's filled and breeds selfishness. It's the me first. It's the self-worship. It's all about me, what's in it for me, my wants and my needs first. Folks, that sounds like our world. I love how relevant the scripture is. They're all about them first and what's in it for them. And the folks that are screaming freedom, and what they're really meaning is freedom from God, don't they realize that is a one-way ticket right into bondage? Folks, they have it backwards, and they say, we think backwards. They're the ones thinking backwards here. Yeah, amen. One thing's for sure, though, this widow mama did realize that her gods couldn't help her. Here she is at the end of her rope, per se. She's out trying to find a couple of sticks to knead the dough to bake this last biscuit that she plans to split with her son, and after they eat that, they have no more. So she fully intended to starve to death. What's that say about her small g gods with an S? That they're useless. She had finally come to a place in her life like, well, my God certainly isn't doing anything. Do you think perhaps she's cried and to her God for mercy that her son and her not die and perish? I'm thinking any mama that loves her children and they're found in a spot like that, even if they're not saved, may find themselves praying, may find themselves looking to some false god for some kind of help, some kind of program, some kind of social something to try to help them. And they realize at the end of the day, they're always going to come up empty because only God can meet these kinds of needs. Amen? Wow. She knew that her gods couldn't help her. They're going to let her and her son die. She thought she was going to starve to death. See, the famine in the land of Judah was affecting them as well. Well, she wants you to notice that sin affects everybody. Amen? The sin of Israel's national leaders, Ahab specifically, was affecting the whole country. Folks, we're being affected by the decisions of our leaders. And the more and more anti-Christian activities they're involved in, the more pressure we're going to feel. And this past year with the pandemic and then going through the election, if I've seen anything on the street, it's been fear. I've seen confusion. Well, where's confusion come from? Well, it comes from the devil because God's not the author of confusion. Amen. And the fear's gripping God's people. What are we going to do now? And yeah, we're all sinners because we're all human. I get that. And we may be some fault here, but some of the decisions being made, those aren't our decisions. We don't agree with that. But what can we do as one person? We can't stop that. I mean, what do we do? Well, I believe we can learn from this mama here today who used to be a pagan, who used to be involved in idolatry, but what she started doing was trusting God. What she started doing was saying, you know, I believe this man of God, and I'm going to prove it by doing what he says. Folks, that's practical Christianity right there, 101. His faith is taking God at his word and doing it. In spite of the circumstances, in spite of what it looks like around you, and it's like, wow, wait. When she's doing this, I wonder if she thought before Elijah showed up, I wonder what I'm going to do. It doesn't say, but that would be a fair question, don't you think? On the street here for this year, I've heard more than once, what are we going to do? It is a fair question. Maybe there's those here this morning wondering, what are we going to do? Okay, fair question. But I believe the answer is, we can follow this mama, this widow. Her example was, she did what the Word of God said. And then God gave her a promise that her meal would not waste, her oil would not fail. And you know what the first response is? At least this is how I would think. Well, that's supernatural because that's impossible. If you use the last of it, put the lid on, take it off, you still don't have any more because that's the natural course of events. So God supernaturally got involved in this lady's life. She used it, put the lid back on. Ah, there's more. How'd that happen? God. Boop, 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 boop. Empty. Tomorrow. Oh, there's more. Well, that's impossible. How'd that happen? God. Okay, now wait a minute. God was teaching something that our substance comes from Him. So when we're in a pandemic and a political mess, regardless of what side of the fence you're on, you have to admit it's a mess, okay? Okay? What are we going to do? Well, we're going to just keep doing what God said and trust Him Because if he has to supernaturally get involved to help us and to sustain us and meet our needs, he can. He's God. He not only can and he's God, he will, because he cares about each and every one of us. I don't know about you, that's encouraging to me. Learned it from a mama who was a widow that couldn't bake too many biscuits. She ran out of stuff. Amen. Well, amen. I thought that was good. I'll show you what it means there in verse 15. It says, and she went and did according to the saying. Well, there it is. That's supernatural. Notice the result. Verse 16. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord. According to the word of the Lord. Folks, you and I have the word of the Lord. It's the King James Bible preserved for us in the English-speaking people right here today. It doesn't contain the word of God. It is the word of God. Listen, it's either the word of God or it's not. And it is. And you and I can trust it with our soul for eternity. And we can trust it with the problems of today. Amen. Absolutely. The meal wasted not and the cruse of oil filled not. Hallelujah. So that brings us to number three already. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Okay, here's the next one. And all these things shall be added unto you. That's number three. That's the third part of that verse. See, she put God first. She played by his rules, and God took care of her just like he promised. Now, my guessing, you can check with your pastor, he might have this already figured out, but this is my guesstimation. This went on for about 2 years, from best I can tell. Remember, I'm not going to argue with you 1 month one way or the other, all right? So I'm guessing this went on for about 2 years. 2 years, a handful of meal and a little bit of oil fed her and Elijah and her son many days. Well, amen. Wow. So now let's turn to Matthew 6. I had you mark your Bible earlier. So this passage is in the New Testament. And I believe Kings 17 about a widow mama was a tremendous illustration of this biblical truth. In verse number 25, it says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? What a blessing, folks. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Did y'all realize you're better than a bird brain? Amen. Amen. Verse next. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Do you ever drive by this is the perfect time of year for it, spring. Before they put the fields in, have you seen the wildflowers out there? And I know one time coming back from Texas, we went down there to pick up one of our missionaries from a language school, and driving back, I think it's about this time of year, and I just noticed theirs are blue. Where we're from, they're yellow. Who planted them? Well, God did. Why? Because he likes beauty. You think if he cares about a silly field that's not doing anything, that he doesn't care about you more? Every time I drive by one of those, you know what that says to me? It says, Terry, I've got this. I'm going to take care of you. Anybody going through a trial this last year? Yeah, hello. You know what? God's taking care of you. Amen? We can trust him. That's the whole point of this, folks. Verse 29, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory is not arrayed like one of these. I mean, even King Solomon? Here to verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith. Do you realize when we have little faith, that's when the fear comes in? That's when the doubt comes in. These are fiery darts to the devil to destroy you, to distract you, to hinder the work of God in your life. Sunday school, he talked about faith. I thought, amen, we're going to talk about faith in church. How much does it take? Well, quite honestly, I don't know how to measure it. But faith is an action. It's taking God at his word. It's doing and believing what he said. Amen. Look at verse number 32. For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. See, God knows. And here's our verse right here. It was our outline. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. That these things are the material needs. Did you see? That's in the context of this passage. In verse 34, take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. This widow demonstrated what this looks like in real time. And folks, that's how we do that. You and I have the completed canon of Scripture. And if we're getting a little discouraged, let's play like King David and encourage ourselves in the Lord. You do that by opening the Scripture and you get in there saying, God, I need to hear from you. And how many's ever had a need and said, God, I need to hear from you, and you got in and you spent some time in the Word that he didn't give you a verse here or there. And it became real. And like jumps off the page, and gets you, you know. It's like, man, that's good. I know I read it before, but whoo, there it is. That's the Holy Spirit working. Amen. Well, some of you are awake now. Welcome back. I'm encouraging you this morning. Let's do like this little lady. Let's just do what God says and trust him to get supernaturally involved if he has to. Well, he's going to take care of us. Isn't that a blessing? What a mess we're in. I'm sure glad God's got it control. Amen. Because you know what that does for me? Gives me peace. I don't have to go to bed worried about it. You know, I was sleeping fine till the storm hit last night. And I was doing okay until I felt the trailer actually shift. And I thought, hey, wait a minute. If the wind's blowing hard enough to actually move 12,000 pounds, it's probably pretty blowing out there, okay? So then I got out and I was going to get the kids up and come in here. And I thought, nah, that means I'm going to get wet going to the church. So I just went back to bed. And what I do, I said, Lord, help us, keep us safe. And here we are this morning. Amen. No windows are blowing out, you know. Praise the Lord. Hey, okay, that was a literal storm, and yeah, it alarmed me at night, waking me up when I felt the trailer move, okay. But hey, we all go through trials. We can trust the Lord. He's given us his promise. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto us. Tremendously illustrated by this widow mama who feared for her life and her sons, and God intervened. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, I'd encourage you to get saved. And if you're saved already, let's put our faith right back there. Say, God, I'm going through some stuff. Would you give me a verse? I need to hear from you. Whatever it is he gives you, just be faithful. Amen? Amen. Maybe life, many trials, many valleys, going through, about to go through, or coming out of one. When it all seems hopeless, hey, God can even take your last biscuit and stretch it many days because he's God. Amen. Let's all stand, please. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed.